All right, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 10. And we're going to begin in verse 23, John 10, 23. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. This evening, I want to share with you some thoughts concerning the Lord's sheep. And we're particularly going to notice verse 27, where it says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This passage that we've read tonight is one of the great passages of the Bible that deals with eternal security, the thought that once we're saved, we're always saved. And it tells us if we're born again, if we're truly been saved, that no one can pluck us out of the Father's hand, and no one can pluck him out of Christ's hand, and Jesus and God the Father are one. And so in order for a person to lose their salvation, something or someone greater than God would have to cause it. It's an impossibility. It's impossible. Tonight, we're going to, particularly as I said, note verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And we're going to look at four things. We're going to look at and consider, why does the Lord use that word sheep here in reference to his children? And how is it, secondly, how is it that he can say my sheep? And then we want to look at what distinguishes the Lord's sheep from the other sheep. In this passage, you saw that he said, you're not of my sheep. And so there's those that are his sheep and those that aren't his sheep. And how is that distinguished? How do we identify the Lord's sheep? And then in closing, I'm just going to talk a little bit about the privilege of being the good shepherd's sheep. First, this reference to sheep, my sheep hear my voice. Throughout the Bible, in numerous places, mankind is referenced as sheep. In Psalms 95, he said, For this is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Psalms 103 says, Know ye the Lord, he is God. He is that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. In Isaiah, that great verse in Isaiah, really not so great if you consider what it's saying, but powerful verse, says, All we like sheep have gone astray. And so the Lord identifies mankind with this term sheep. And so why are you and I referred to as sheep? Why not as cheetahs, the fastest land animal? Why not as Kodiak brown bears, an animal to be respected? Why not even referred to as a raven, one of the smartest birds of all the bird kingdom? Why? Because no other animal in all of creation typifies mankind like the sheep does. Now I'm going to hurt your egos a little bit, but sheep are dumb. They're dumb. Let me read you a story printed in Turkey. Hundreds of sheep followed their leader off a cliff in eastern Turkey, plunging to their death this week, while shepherds looked on in dismay. 400 sheep fell 15 meters, which I think a meter is about three yards, or about a yard, so 45 feet, to their death in a ravine in the Van province near Iran, but broke the fall of another 1,100 animals who survived. Shepherds from a nearby village neglected the flock while eating breakfast, leaving the sheep to roam free. The loss to the local farmer was estimated at $74,000. And so one sheep goes and looks over the cliff. Somehow he thinks that maybe the grass is greener there in the bottom of the gully. And it seems totally absurd that he would do that. But he steps off into the abyss, and 1,499 others follow him. Sheep are dumb. And many times, you know, we get ourselves in a situation and we look at it and we say, man, I was so stupid. How could I be so stupid? Well, we need a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. The Bible says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Proverbs says, man's going are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? And so we need a shepherd. Just as sheep need a shepherd, and in danger when they don't have a shepherd, we also need to have a shepherd. Sheep are without a sense of direction. They're without a sense of way to go. And I've told you before that a cow can go through a hole in a fence, and when it wants to come back, it'll come back to that same hole in the fence and go through. A sheep can go through a hole in a fence and never find it again. They have no sense of direction. The sheep there in Turkey had no sense of direction or their danger. The Proverbs tells us, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That we think that we're going the right way, but it's not the right way, and we need a shepherd to guide us and to lead us and to show us the way in which we should go. We've already quoted, all we like sheep have gone astray. It's the nature of mankind to depart from God and to go astray, and as this is a sheep, we've turned everyone unto our own way. Also, sheep are very defenseless. Left to themselves, the sheep will not and cannot last very long. Just about every other domesticated animal, if he's turned loose, he can go back into the wild and he can adapt and he can survive. But a sheep left to himself in the wild becomes a snack for nature. When threatened, they have three possibilities, animals do. They can attack, but a sheep has no claws, it has no fangs, it has no talons. They can run, but have you ever saw a sheep run? Not very fast. They can posture. A cat will arch its back and hiss. A bear or a lion will roar. A rattlesnake sounds his buzzing rattles. And a sheep stands by and he says, bah, bah. They're helpless and they need a shepherd. And mankind are defenseless. The Bible says that we ought to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So when it comes to defense, we need a shepherd. And when it comes to trying to defend ourselves in light of the Word of God, we see that we're without excuse, we're helpless and hopeless. And because of the sinful, lost nature of you and I, we cannot hope to escape the judgment of God against sin, nor ever hope for life and life more abundantly without a shepherd. Now, you see here in this verse, he says, my sheep. How is it that he could say, my sheep? Well, as we've already pointed out to you, as he says above here, that not all mankind are his sheep. He said, you're not my sheep. Other sheep I have, he said one place. But how is it that he says these are my sheep? How can he rightly call them my sheep? Well, first of all, if you drop back to verse 11 of this chapter 10, you'll see he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. They're his sheep because he paid for them. He bought them. He redeemed them out of sin. That he paid the ultimate price, and he could rightly say that they're my sheep because I've purchased them. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter, for much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so Jesus can clearly say that we're his sheep, those that are saved, that they're my sheep, that they belong to me, because he paid the ultimate price for you and I. There's no greater price that can be paid. He didn't halfway do it. He didn't somehow, you know, muck through it, but he paid the ultimate price, and he can say, I own these sheep rightfully. They belong to me because I have paid the ultimate price for them. Also, he can claim that they're his sheep because he went seeking for them. As the 99 was in the fold and the shepherd went to seek the one, he came seeking them. When we were out in the wilderness of life, who came looking for us of any consequences? Who wanted to even deal with us? Was it any your boss, or did he care for your eternal soul? Did your family possibly would pray for you? But who was the one that really sought you, and who was the one that called out for you, and who's the one that drew you, and who's the one that went seeking the lost, kindly entreating? It was Jesus. That he came when I was in sin and lost and on my way to hell. He came as he did to Adam and Eve, knocking, coming to the garden and saying, where art thou, Adam? And he came and drew me and called out to my name and said, where art thou? He comes seeking the lost, the Holy Spirit reproving with him men of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And he knows that men will perish and die and go to hell if he, as a good shepherd, does not pursue their souls. If he's lifted up, he'll draw all men to him. He is calling, even tonight, he calls. He wants to take those that are ignorant of their condition, lost and helpless, and put them on his shoulders and bring them home. And understand that the Savior has done all he can and is doing all he can to call you to himself and to bring you home. Don't die in your sin tonight. Don't go away. If you're not saved here tonight, settle this issue with the Lord. He is seeking, and he says they're my sheep because he seeks for them. Many years ago, as a teenage boy, I went with my great uncle in Eastern Oregon to retrieve three sheep that had gone astray in the wilderness of Oregon. The herder on horseback drove them into this pen. They were all jittery and scared, and eventually two of them were gentled down enough to get him in the pickup. The third, we tried to get in the pickup, and he jumped the fence and took off. And when last way I saw him, he's going around the rim, rocky rim, way down to the end of the mountain. And he was done. He was coyote food. And about 2 weeks later, maybe a month later, I went to the home ranch of my uncle, and he brought those sheep back, and I saw him go out to the field and there and look out over those sheep, and he made this funny little call, and here these sheep come running, and it was those sheep that we went and rescued. They're feeding out of the trough. He's talking to them, rubbing his hand on their head. And they the shepherd had sought them and tamed them and brought them to a place where they heard his voice and followed him. Well, thank God that he says they're my sheep, because he cared enough to come and find us. This shepherd cares enough to come and find us. Well, that brings me to the question, what are the distinguishing marks of the Lord's sheep, the great shepherd's sheep? What identifies them? In real life, cows are identified by the brand upon their hide. My brother brands every Memorial Day, and he puts a J and an H on their hide, and the hair burns, and the hide is marked, and it's there for their life. But you can't brand a sheep. You're going to burn all the wool off of them if you do. So they're identified with a tag in their ear. And here in this passage, the Lord's sheep are identified by their ears and by their feet. Look what it says. It says, my sheep hear my voice. The Lord's sheep ears hear the voice of the Lord. They're attentive to the voice of the Lord. They know when God is dealing with them. And they follow me. The feet of the Lord's sheep get up and go and do what he wants them to do and where he leads them to go. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. There are many who claim to be the sheep of the Savior, but the Savior's sheep hear the voice with intent to obey the voice, and their feet follow in the path that he has laid for them. Listen, when someone claims to be a Christian, but he continues in his sinful ways, he is not the sheep of the Savior's. Titus describes the grace of God that brings salvation in saying this, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The sheep of the shepherd deny ungodliness. They turn from worldly lust. They live a sober life, a righteous life, and a godly life. When the shepherd finds a lost sheep and lays it upon his shoulder and brings it home to the fold through grace and faith, then that sheep is changed forever. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Peter says that the sheep become partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so, the marks of the Savior's sheep are is that they hear and they follow. Now, I want you to note the privilege of being the shepherd's sheep. In verse 27, my sheep, and we talked about, he calls them my because he's bought them and he's pursued them. They're identified by hearing the voice and following. But there's a little three-word phrase here. That is so amazing and so overwhelming. I know them. Settle it in your heart tonight. Whatever you're going through, or whatever you're going to go through, or whatever you've been through, or wherever you are at tonight, the shepherd knows you. I know them. It's almost incomprehensible that he says, I know them. I know that they're mine. I know who you are. I know them. The thought being conveyed here is not that of a sheep herder in the Western United States, where a man would be watching over 1,000+ sheep. But here in Israel, we have one man that would go before his band, a small band. Sometimes he would even take other people's sheep and watch over them. But it was a small band, and he leads them, going before them, calling out to them, them hearing his voice, and them following. They know the shepherd's voice, and as we said, he knows them. You've seen many pictures of this picture, that the word picture that the Lord is giving us, and many actual art pictures have been made of Jesus holding a lamb or carrying it on his shoulders, and or watching over the sheep. And Jesus is the one who cares, and as we said, he's the one that goes after the one when 99 are safe in the fold, and he's the one who is intimately and individually concerned for each one of the sheep, and he provides his sheep with everything they need. He's the one whose staff defends the sheep when it's in danger. He's the one whose rod loves the sheep enough to correct them when they stray. And he knows them. He knows exactly your nature. He knows exactly the cares of your heart tonight. He knows exactly what's going through Stanley Mason's heart as he lost his wife this morning. A party of English tourists was on its way to Palestine, and the guide was on the plane with them and talking to them about some of the things they would see. And he described for them that the shepherds in the east would always go before their sheep, leading them. And when they reached Palestine, to the amusement of the tourists, the very first group of sheep they saw, a man was behind them, driving them. And it made the tourist guide look pretty funny. And so he couldn't stand it. He stopped the bus and got off and questioned the man and asked him, I've always saw and I've always been told that the Eastern shepherds go before their sheep and lead them. And what's going on here? He said, that's true. Shepherds lead their sheep, but I'm not a shepherd. I'm a butcher, and I'm driving them to market. Thank God that he leads and not drives. Thank God that he cares for us. Sheep very much depend upon the shepherd. Like sheep, you and I go astray. Like sheep, we can't fight, we can't run, and we can't posture. We're helpless and hopeless on our own to escape the consequences of sin. In Christ, we have the picture of the Eastern shepherd who, when he drives his sheep into the sheepfold, he lays down and he's the door. He lays in the gate. And nothing comes into the sheepfold that doesn't go across the shepherd. He's the great protector. We're helpless and hopeless to escape the consequences of sin. We have the great shepherd who walks among us. He feeds his sheep, calling them to lay down in green pastures. Listen tonight, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. When Jesus says, I know them, it implies a personal identification. In this life, I'm mostly known as 541-644-0029, my social security number. Or I can be known by ADL-623-6234, my Alaska driver's license number. But what a joy to be known by name. I went to the airport the other day to pick up Jock, and I parked right next to my former boss at the Fairbanks Food Bank, and Steve Rice, and I was pretty close to him at work, and I said, hello, Steve, and he recognized me, but he said, what was your name again? Well, it didn't make me feel very good. And I remember years ago, the The Elks Lodge would sponsor in our little town. The Elks Lodge was in the town, next town over, but it would sponsor a sports banquet where fathers and sons would go to that, and they would honor athletes in the area or just have a meal for that. And I learned about that at school, and one of the first things I thought was, you know, I ain't going to no Elks Club. They're known for drinking, and I'm not going there. And so I kind of put it, you know, out of my mind. And then my cousin came to me, and he said, "Are you going to go to that banquet tonight?" And I said, "No, I wasn't planning on it." I said, "Well, I'll take you." And so I came home. And my dad was there, and I said, "You know, Bill, my cousin, he was 8 years older than me. He said he's asked me to go with him to this sports banquet they're going to have over in Condon." And I never forget. He never said much, but I got it before the night was over. That my dad was wondering, "Well, why didn't you ask me?" And I was innocent because I didn't think I was going to go and didn't want to go until my cousin twisted my arm to go. And it was as though I didn't want to be identified with my father. That's what he thought. But I made sure next year that we went together. And I'm just simply saying to you that the Lord is never ashamed to be identified with us. And we should never be ashamed to be identified with Him. He knows us. Sad to say, there are people during my life that I don't really want to admit to knowing. In all actuality, if you really knew me, if you knew the deeds done in secret, if you knew the blackness of my heart before conversion, if you knew the tendencies of my heart to wander as a sheep and to turn from my shepherd, you would deny knowing me. But my shepherd never has. Listen to this verse. Hebrews 2:11. "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call him brethren." An outstanding verse. The Lord is never ashamed to call us His brethren. And then in Hebrews 11:16, "But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." And so it kind of put it on the other hand. He's not ashamed to call us brethren, and then He's not ashamed to be identified as our God, because He's prepared for us a place. He's never shortchanged us. He's always given us the best. He went before and prepared us exactly what we need. When Christ said, "I know them," it implies a very present knowledge. He knows us at this very moment. Before I got saved, He knew me, and He called me, and He drew me unto Himself. When I got saved, He knew exactly what He got in me. He did not look at what He got, but He looked at me as how I could be conformed to the image of His Son. When I'm in sin, and He knows all about it, He convicts me. And when I practice 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sin, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I want to tell you here tonight and go on record, there has not been one single incident when I've confessed my sin to the Lord that He didn't cleanse me and restore me
and in a sense put his arms around me and held me close to his side. That's the good shepherd. That's the privilege of being one of the sheep of the shepherd. When I continue in sin, he's not a father that's too busy to deal with me. He is not a father that lets it go, but he's a father whom the Hebrews speaks about, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Thank God that we have a shepherd that will not let us continue on and on and on and on into destruction, but he hauls us up and calls us close and breaks our will. I've heard told that the sheep would be rebellious and the shepherd would take his rod and he would wound the sheep, break its leg and reset it, and that sheep would have to follow right behind the shepherd and stay with him. He had been corrected and he had been disciplined, and as he's following close to the shepherd, oftentimes the shepherd would take his crook and reach up on the high bank where the other sheep couldn't reach and get that choice piece of grass and hold it in his hand behind as the sheep followed and fed his sheep. Thank God. Thank the shepherd that he won't let us go on in our stupid way over the end of the cliff. When I'm in despair, his presence cheers me and says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you so." When Paul was on the ship, being taken to see Caesar, confront Caesar, it seemed all was lost when Euroclydon, that great mighty wind that was exceedingly tossing the ship, was about to send him down. But the shepherd never forgot that Paul was there in that boat. And Paul says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, and it shall be even as it was told him.'" The shepherd never forgot. When I'm sorely tempted, when I'm brokenhearted, the shepherd whispers in my ear, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Oh, listen. When you walk through the storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. That's a secular song, but when it applies to Christ, we need to fear nothing. Listen, remember, he says that he goes before his sheep and the sheep hear his voice and they follow him. That he's not called upon us to tread on any ground that he's not been there before. That he's not there ahead of us. That he's not there preparing the way. Because he is the great shepherd. When I'm sorely tempted and I feel that I will soon give in, he knows it and he says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful." God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able. When I'm filled with anger, and he knows that, he gives me grace and helped in the time of need. When I feel as though I'm a sheep forsaken in the wilderness, I remember Paul saying of the shepherd, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray that God may not lay it to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." As we prayed for Brother Stanley tonight, the Lord stands with him and the Lord can strengthen him. And listen, there's nothing going to come into your life that the shepherd is not there to help you and to strengthen you. When I am confused and I don't know what to do,
He knows how to counsel me. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. When I walk someday in that valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because my shepherd is right there with me. He's the good shepherd. He knows the sheep. It's a knowledge that has perfect knowledge. I look at people, I make assumptions about their motives and what they're doing and why they're doing it, and it can be wrong many times. But the shepherd has perfect knowledge. Psalms 139 says that he understands my thoughts afar off. He understands me when I rise. He knows when I rise up and when I sit down. Psalms 139 says he's acquainted with all my ways. He says of us, there's not a word in my mouth that he does not know altogether. The Bible says that he's behind me, and he's before me, and he lays his hand upon me all at the same time. And so here's my shepherd. He's behind me, and he's before me. And it says there in that great passage that he lays his hand upon me. That's what it means to be in Christ. That word, sometimes we struggle with what it means to be in Christ, but in Christ is like a fish in the water. All around him, he moves and lives within the water. But Christ, as we move and live within Christ, we're in Christ. He's all around us. He's before us and he's after us. And he lays his hand upon us to guide us. This is the way to go, walk ye in it. And David said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Look over in Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49, we're talking about, he says, I know them. In Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15, he says, can a woman, powerful verse, can a woman forget her sucking child? Not very likely. That she would not have compassion on the son of her womb? He says, yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I've graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me. And so when I'm busy and I need to make a note because I don't want to forget, I take it and I write it on the palm of my hand. And I say, okay, I got to do this and do that. And I look and I see it there. Well, he says, listen, a mother may forget her chuckling child, but I'll never forget you. And I've engraved your name. I put your name upon my hand, and I'm not going to forget you. He's the shepherd that knows his sheep. Now, go with me to Psalms 23. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And Psalms 23 says this, the Lord as my shepherd, I shall not want. We're not going to read the rest of it. But listen, if he's your shepherd, he's got it in control. If he's your shepherd, everything's going according to his will. If he's your shepherd, he lies in the gate of the sheepfold, and nothing's going to get to you that he doesn't allow. If I could talk to Brother Stanley tonight, I'd say to him, the Lord who sought you and the Lord who bought you has allowed this to happen. But he loves you.
and you'll not want. What a shepherd. Do you know this shepherd? Perhaps tonight he's seeking you in the wilderness. You'll not be blessed in this life unless you have a shepherd. We need a shepherd. And I wonder if we have the mark of his sheep upon us, that we hear him and we follow him. I don't know if Molly, my beagle dog, is just getting old or she's getting ornery. But I call and it seemed like that she's lost part of her hearing. And before, when I called, she would hear and she would follow. But you know, sometimes we can get old and ornery. May God forgive us. Remember, we're his sheep because he paid the ultimate price. And we're his sheep because he came seeking us. A dumb, defenseless sheep. May we rejoice tonight that he knows us. He knows you. He knows all about you. And he's not ashamed to call us brethren. Hallelujah, what a savior.
Amen.
Hallelujah, what a great shepherd. May you rejoice in the fact that you're his sheep. Let's pray. Father, tonight, these truths are so powerful and amazing and Lord, unbelievable. Thank you, Lord, for being willing to go to the cross for me. That when I was like all other sheep going astray, that you allowed my iniquities to be laid upon you. Thank you that you know me. You know exactly what I'm doing and where I'm at and what I need. Thank you, Lord, that you care. I pray that your people tonight would be blessed, that they might rejoice, that it might be moved, that you're not ashamed to be called our brother. And Lord, help us and forgive us if we've ever been ashamed of you. Go with these your people as they leave here tonight. Help them, Lord, to meditate upon you. Help them to realize in this world where everything seems to be kicking up the one who is down, to realize that they're the child of the King. And we're going to be heirs and joint heirs with you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. And those that are here tonight that know you not as their Savior, I pray that they might come under great conviction and they might listen to your voice and follow. In Jesus' name, amen.